Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I am so glad that you're joining us from your homes or wherever you have gathered to watch this morning. So we pray that God will bless us in our time together today. I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and good news, Pastor Ryan completes his family leave on Monday. He'll be joining us again on Monday, beginning Monday. So it'll be great to have him back around doing his ministry and his work in this place among us. So we have two announcements today, really. One is the fact that you have probably received a letter outlining the reopening plans for our church in the days to come. If you have any questions or comments about that letter, feel free to contact the people at the bottom of the letter listed down there. They are your council members. They are your representatives. They are the ones who are responsible for these sorts of things. So please continue to talk to them. The second thing we have today is that we have a presentation from the Gideons. There's a video. It's about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So please, let's take a minute for that. And remember that they are an outside organization that shares God's word with the world, and we help them along the way. Enjoy the video.
Every Sunday, churches open their doors to communities around the world for people to fellowship, to worship, to grow, and to renew their spirits with a hope found only in the Word of God. But for many, Sunday is a day like any other. That's where the Gideons come in. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are, by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life, and by personally sharing the message of true hope with the weary traveler, the sick and discouraged, with all generations, in small towns and in major cities, across time zones and countrysides, and to the ends of the earth. So men, women, boys and girls can learn who they are in Christ and experience life as children of God. Gideons have never done this work alone. It's churches, just like yours, who make their work powerful and effective in different cultures and languages throughout some 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. Gideons are members of Churches First, dependent on God's people for support through prayer, giving, and a growing membership. Because in the end, we're all carrying out one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
And now let us begin our worship the way that we always do. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with the people around us, or through text messages, or however it is that you would like to share God's peace on this day. We continue with our confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in taking a moment of silence to confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's own authority, I therefore declare to us the entire forgiveness of all of our sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter with the song Earth and All Stars. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray together the prayer of the day. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the reading of the lessons.
The first reading comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Led by the Spirit, Philip encounters an Ethiopian official who is returning to his African home after having been to Jerusalem to worship. Philip uses their encounter to proclaim the gospel to him. Upon coming to faith in Jesus, he is baptized by Philip. The reading. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with this scripture, and he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The responsive psalm is Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31. "From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, 'The Lord has acted.'" The second reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. "We love God and others because God first loved us. We cannot say we love God whom we have not seen, while hating our brothers and sisters whom we regularly see. Love toward God is to be matched by love toward others, because the essence of God is love." The reading. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. and we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars, for those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Here ends the readings.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with the children's sermon.
Oh, hey boys and girls, good morning. It's so good to be with you today. Aren't apples delicious? I think they're really delicious. It's really a good reminder that springtime is here. Can you believe it? Everything outside is blooming and growing, and just makes me feel like that all the time. Doesn't it make you feel like that too? So, so great. Well, springtime really gets me thinking about all of the new things that are growing, right? What are some things that happen in spring? The flowers grow. Yep. The birds start singing, absolutely, and we start seeing the leaves regrow on the trees, right? In the winter, we see the trees lose all of their leaves, but now they're growing back, and that's a really cool sign. Do you know what it's a sign of? All right, well, I'll tell you, even if you do already know. So the cool thing about trees, right, is they grow stuff, and some trees grow fruit, like this delicious little apple. How does it do that? How does the fruit grow, right? Well, the fruit is connected to a branch, which is connected to the trunk, which is connected inside, underneath the dirt, into the soil with networks of roots, right? Seems like a really complex system. But the whole point of this fruit being able to be grown is that all of those things work together and all the connections are there, right? Well, this got me thinking about our gospel lesson today. And I think Jesus is really trying to paint a really fun picture for us to help us understand what it means for us to bear fruit. I don't think Jesus means that for us to sprout apples out of our ears. That would be really weird. Although we'd never have a shortage of apples. But I think what Jesus is really trying to say to us is that his words are, I am the vine and you are the branches. But we could also remember that as I am the trunk and you are the branches. And everything that we put out into the world, things like how we love one another or showing forgiveness to each other or being gracious and patient, that's like little life fruit. And God wants us to put that out into the world because he wants us to feel his love and to show love to other people. Capiche? Kapash. Oh, man, this is really getting me hungry. Should we have a prayer real quick? Awesome. Fruit-giving Lord, thank you for providing us with the most delicious way to show your love to the world. Help us remember that you are the trunk and you provide life for us to bear fruit for the world to see. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. And all God's children said, amen. All right, so remember, next time you have a craving for your favorite fruit, remember that God loves you so much, and there's nothing that'll ever change that. Bye!
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, when you're preparing a sermon for me, there are two basic ways to look at the text, at the readings that we have for the day. The first way is the 10,000 foot view, right? I look at all the lessons, or at least I look thoroughly at the whole gospel lesson and try to find a golden thread. You know, one idea, one concept, the theme that emerges from the text, trying to discern the voice of God speaking to us through the word that day. So today, if I had to summarize the gospel in one of those flashy, easy to remember phrases that would make everybody feel good because you could go home and say, listen to what my pastor said, right? I would say, religion without relationship is fruitless. Religion without relationship is fruitless. Get it? I mean, we don't bear fruit unless we have relationships in our life. So Jesus emphasized how important it was for us to be connected to him. It's like a vine and the branches that shoot off that vine. Sure, the fruit hangs at the end of the branches, but if the branches were not connected to the vine, they wouldn't get everything that they needed to produce that fruit. No water, no nutrients, no strength, no support, nothing. Well, the same thing for us. If we are not connected to Jesus, if we do not have a relationship with him, then we can't possibly produce the fruit that comes from faith and from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's pretty clear, right? When you look at this gospel from the 10,000 foot view, it seems easy peasy. But that's not how I always look at the text that we have when I prepare a sermon. Sometimes I like to focus in on the details, like a microscopic view. There may be a single word or a phrase that catches my attention, that jumps out at me and demands that I figure out what the heck God is trying to say to us in those few little words. Well, that is what happened with today's gospel lesson. The phrase that demanded my attention was what Jesus says in the middle of his otherwise seamless monologue about the vine and the branches and the fruit. Right in the middle, he says, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. It doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of the lesson. It sticks out like a metaphorical thumb, sore thumb, that is. So listen, there is this guy named Bill. And he wanted to buy a horse. So he gets on his computer and starts searching Craigslist for a brand new horse in his area. Bill saw an ad that immediately caught his attention. For sale, a Christian horse. He had no idea in the whole world what it meant for a horse to be a Christian horse. So he had to go check it out. Well, when Bill got to the ranch, the horse's owner said, yep, sure enough, he is a Christian horse. He only responds to Christian commands. And it's easy to ride him. All you have to do is say, praise the Lord, to make him go, and amen, to make him stop. So he thought, you know, that sounds reasonable, pretty easy, and maybe I should take this horse out for a test drive. Well, Bill got up on the horse and he says, praise the Lord. Lo and behold, the horse started to walk. But Bill wanted to go faster. He wanted to see what this horse could do. So he said, praise the Lord. And the horse started to trot. It was going well. So Bill wanted to push it, right? He wanted to open this pony up, go full throttle. So he said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the horse took off, running just as fast as the wind. When all of a sudden, Bill noticed up in front of them that they were running toward a cliff, a pretty significant drop off. So Bill cries out just as loud as he can, amen. And just in the nick of time, the horse stops dead in his tracks. And Bill was filled with absolute relief. And he looks up to heaven and says, whew, praise the Lord. I think we all know that words have power. They have the power to build up. They have the power to tear down. They have the power to encourage us on our way. Words also have the power to break our heart into little tiny pieces. Words have the power to join our lives to the other people around us. Think about the words in these speeches that have changed the nature of our communities and our country. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Or how about, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Or how about this? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All three of these examples, all of these words, have power in our communities and in our lives. We acknowledge these as simple truths, and we give them power. Now, in the gospel lesson, Jesus is claiming that his word has a power that is even more than any of the other words that have impacted our lives. Jesus is saying that his word, the words that he has spoken, the words that he has proclaimed, the words that we have recorded in the word of God, the words around which we who claim to be Christians build our lives, he claims that his word actually holds the power to cleanse us, to make us clean. But how? So, you all know that I have problems breathing, right? I cough during worship, blah, blah, blah. So I have this breathing machine, a CPAP, that I have to wear at night so that I do not stop breathing while I sleep, so that I survive until the morning. Kind of dramatic, but absolutely true. Anyway, to clean my CPAP machine, I have another machine that also sits next to it on the nightstand. It's called the So Clean 2 machine. But the filter expired on that machine. You know, there's a little filter inside the cleaning machine. It runs ozone through the CPAP, and it captures all the junk and garbage and particulate grossness. And I assume my uncommon nocturnal halitosis, that all that gets caught in this filter, and then you need to change it. That filter needed to be replaced. They cost $30 each. And of course, I said, forget about it. I'm not paying $30 for a tiny piece of plastic filter. So I went on the Amazon, and I know it's not the Amazon. Don't correct me. It's just Amazon, but I like saying it incorrectly, so please mind your own business. Anyway, I found a six-pack of filters on Amazon, which will last for 3 years, a knockoff brand, for only $21. But you can't just buy something on Amazon all willy-nilly without reading the specs and the reviews. And these new filters were overwhelmingly positive. The only negative reviews were about how the filters must not be fitting into the machine correctly, because the warning light on the machine that tells you it's time to change the filter didn't shut off after the people installed the new filter. Well, I wondered to myself, is that a real problem? So I looked up in the manual and actually read the instructions. And after you install a new filter, you need to manually reset that warning light. It doesn't do it automatically. You have to be involved. Ugh, so much trouble, right? Just because I don't know how to breathe correctly. Arg. So I was thinking about how the words of Jesus could actually make the disciples clean, as he claims in this gospel lesson. So what if it works like a filter? What if we use the words of Christ and we run our lives through those words? Bear with me here. We live our lives, right? We have all these interactions, all these thoughts and words, and all this stuff that we carry around inside of us, ourselves, each and every day. And not everything that we have is good. We carry around a lot of things that do not lead to life. Things that hurt us and other people around us. For example, let's say we choose to carry around hate. Easy example in this day and age. Like we hate a certain person or a certain kind of people. Now that sticks inside of us, that hate. That starts to define who we are and the choices we make and how we live our lives. So we begin to treat other people like they are inferior and broken when we compare them to us. We begin to say things that are hurtful and add to the hate in this world. And we begin to do things that add hate to the what we experience in this world. And in the process, we become unclean, right? I mean, doesn't hate make us unclean? If God is love, by definition, choosing hate is the opposite of love. Therefore, it is the opposite of God. Well, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that makes us unclean. And the way that we know for sure is that we run it through the filter of the word of Christ. Because as followers of the Christ, we assume that his words are right and holy and given to us by God. And who we are in Christ needs to be tested against the words of Christ. We have to do that. We just do. Or else we are not really followers of Christ. And when we run the concept of hating other people through the filter of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the words that he spoke, and the way that he lived, something should happen to us. Just like the junk and the garbage that gets caught in a filter that we have on our breathing machine, or our furnaces, or our cars, or anything else that we have a filter on, the junk of our lives get caught in the filter of God's word. And what comes out the other side should be a changed heart that is clean. So listen, the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says this: indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. As you know, that's one of the powers that the Word of God has in our lives. We compare how we are living to how Jesus has called us to live. And when we see that we have failed, that indeed we have fallen short of the glory of God, which, by the way, we all have fallen short of the glory of God, then we know with certainty, according to God's Word, that it's time to repent of our sins and to start again. Now, I have one caution. The Word of God is not to be used as a club with which to beat each other over the head. It's not designed for us to be self-righteous and justified in our anger. You know what I'm talking about. How sometimes people pick and choose little tiny verses on which to focus, and they say, this is the absolute truth. This one little part is the absolute truth. It's called proof texting, and it can be very dangerous if you're trying to justify your own bad ideas or bad behavior that are contrary to the overall will of God. You know, for example, like the verse where Jesus curses the fig tree and it shrivels up and dies. I don't think we're supposed to hate fig trees. I don't think Jesus had something against fig trees. I also don't think it's okay to curse things or people that we do not like until they shrivel up and die. If you compare that one story to the rest of Jesus's mission and work and teachings and all that, and if you set it within the context of the entire lesson, where it was happening, what was going on at that time, you'd start to understand that Jesus was frustrated and scared. He was getting near the end of his life, and he had this sincere human moment where he lashed out. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to do the same thing. It means the exact opposite. It means that sometimes in his human frailty, Jesus was like us, and his life was hard, and he didn't know how to deal with it. Anyway, God calls us to take the totality of God's word into our heart and our mind and to actually be centered and focused in the word. You know what I mean? Reading God's word at home, getting together with a friend or a family member to study the word, going to a Bible study, which both Wednesday morning and men's Wednesday evening Bible studies have resumed online, and you are most certainly welcome. There are so many opportunities for us to continue to learn and grow in our understanding of God's word. And besides, we also have to understand that God's word is living and moving. It's like a stream of water. You stick your toe in the stream, and 2 minutes later, you go and stick your toe into the exact same spot. It's not the same spot. It's not the same stream. The water has already gone downstream. There is new water. There is new life. There's a whole different set of circumstances in which you're stepping in the stream. The same thing with the word of God. You read one passage one day, and it may not speak to your heart at all. Zero. But the next day, or the next time you read that exact same verse, it could be the most important word of God that you will ever hear. It might draw you closer to God. It might change your heart, and it might change your life. Okay, let's bring this home. Y'all remember when I said that knockoff brand of filters that I bought had a few negative reviews because the people didn't know they needed to reset the machine after they put the filter in? Boy, I think that's a good analogy for us. We need to be open to God's word. We need to be willing to reset our lives, because if we engage with Christ in his word and expect nothing to happen to us, nothing to change, nothing to reset, then nothing will happen. Nothing will change. When we read God's word, when we focus on the life of Christ, when we sincerely desire to be open to the Holy Spirit working inside of us and to change us through that word, even before we open the book, I really do think it's a valuable and good idea for us to pray and to ask the Holy Spirit to clean our hearts, to filter our lives, and to change us. And through the power of the word, to draw us ever closer to our God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's join together in singing the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
We continue our worship this morning by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together in praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all the people that we can think of who are in need of prayer this day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have taught us that you are the vine, you are the trunk, you are the main source of our life and our hope. And Lord, we are branches that are reaching out into this world and bearing fruit. We ask, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you inspire us and empower us so that we can bear holy fruit in this world that reveals your love and your will to those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also know that you have given us your word as a precious gift so that we can draw closer to you, but also so that it cleanses us from the inside out. So, Lord, we ask that you make us this day steadfast in your word. Help us to have the desire to grow closer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are suffering or sick or recovering from surgery today. We remember Kay Johnson, who had surgery this week. You know, bless her and uphold her and help her to heal up. We also remember all those that we raise to you now silently in our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray, Lord, that we make a smooth transition as we begin to open the church and we all begin to open up our world and our culture. We pray for those places that are hot spots right now for COVID, especially for the rampant nature of the disease in India and the number of deaths that they are experiencing. Lord, be with the people of India. Watch over them, strengthen them, and give us a desire to help them in any way that we can. We also ask that you just be with anyone in our lives who are still struggling with this disease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray this day, Lord, for our church, all the Christian church in the whole world. Uphold us by your Holy Spirit and help us to proclaim your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we're going to continue our worship today with our offering. And I'd invite you just to take time to think about what God's word means to you in your life. We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, with the witnesses of the resurrection, with the angels and the archangels, the cherubim and the seraphim, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And our Lord Jesus, when he gathered with his disciples, he taught them to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Dear friends in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed. I invite you to receive the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us join in praying together a post-communion prayer. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer the darkness, water to give us new life, and the bread of life to nourish us. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show forth your glory and your love to all the world, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace and share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.